Do you agree that it would be wrong, it would be criminal for you to try to exchange Barack Obama's U.S. Senate seat, that appointment, for something that would be of value to you? You agree that that would be wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Personal, you know, one for the other, personal gain, absolutely.
And you didn't do that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we got the message. Grateful and appreciative, huh? I think a 501c4. Can we get his friend Warren Buffett or some of those guys to help us on something like that?
What, for you?
Yeah.
You agree that that would be wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you didn't do that?
Absolutely not.
Do they think that I would just appoint Valerie Jarrett for nothing, just to make him happy?
Do you agree that it would be wrong, it would be criminal for you to try to exchange Barack Obama's U.S. Senate seat, that appointment, for something that would be of value to you? You agree that that would be wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, senators make $169,300.
So more than what I make. 169, huh?
Yeah, 169.3.
And you didn't do that?
Absolutely not.
But, you know, what about Patty on some, you know, corporate boards? Paid corporate boards right now. Can they help us that way? Treehouse Foods, the one that, what's her name, was on for $65,000. Now, can't we get Patty a couple of those?
You agree that that would be wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And you didn't do that?
Absolutely not.
But if they feel like they can do this and not give me anything under just some vague assurances or something, then I'll go Jesse Jr. I mean, the arrogance of these people.
And you didn't do that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, what have I gotten for? Oh, the people are gonna be mad, and the newspapers, they'll all of you.
Another in a series of great moments in democracy that we bring you every afternoon on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Another day of broadcast insolence already underway.
Yeah, fine example of ethical democracy in action.
Sure.
Right there.
Yes.
We can remember all of that. Actually, Rachel Maddow had one of the best interviews. Remember, he went on every talk show, everything, anybody, any microphone he could get in front of at the time. He went and spoke out, right, thinking somehow it would help. And I remember she was able to really nail him down. And so was Bonnie Hunt, ironically, when she had a talk show at that time, sat down with the governor and was able to get some things out of him. Like, well, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right.
Are you sure? Are you sure you didn't do any of these things? Well, you know, okay, so his argument...
Was that before the tapes were heard? I don't understand. Weren't the tapes already out?
Yeah.
When he was saying, I have something and it's effing golden and I'm not going to give it up for nothing. Wasn't that already out?
Yes. Here's the issue. Here is the issue. Is that, in case you're wondering why we're talking about this, the president last night on Air Force One on the way back from El Paso went back to the press quarters on Air Force One, popped his head, you know, through the door. You see that. Here's Johnny. And he looked at them and he said, you know what I'm thinking about doing? I'm thinking about commuting the sentence of Rabbi Goyevich. Uh-huh. It's like, and the press is like, wait, what? You're doing what?
It truly come out of nowhere.
Well, you know, the idea, you know, there are some in the world, and I happen to subscribe to this, believe that he likes to do that because he throws out something to get us off the topic of whatever it is, like gun control and stuff like that. That's not going to go well. NRA's mad at him. It's probably not going to happen. Let's throw something else out of the water. He's great at that. I mean, he's the best distractor in the history of the art of distraction.
Right.
Best ever.
Right after he said, well, I think we can come to terms on universal background checks. Several news organizations have now said, well, he definitely talked to the
Wayne
NRA.
Wayne LaPierre
has called him, and it has happened, and you know what? Now they're like, hey, our base is not going to like this.
Yeah, sorry, you're out. So the bottom line is that he needs something. So this is a good one. Throw it out there. And then he was treated so unfair. It was so bad. And his wife's great. I've seen her on TV. She's amazing.
Well, my favorite line, I think, of all was when he said, many politicians say things in a braggadocio kind of way. Not me. Not me at all. I wouldn't do that. But
right,
he did.
They said the wrong things on the phone.
He did.
Right. All he's doing, by doing this, there's two things. I mean, one, he's, you know, he's helping out, you know, fellow castmate of The Apprentice. You know, you want to help your coworkers out.
Well, he's saying he's not a friend. He was just treated badly by the Comey and the gang.
Yes. This
he's
is a way
more
of,
about Comey, I think, than even Blagojevich. I don't think they were particularly close. They knew each other through that show.
But Comey, now, I'm trying to, you know, first of all, it was Mueller who was the head of the FBI at that time. Not Comey wasn't a part of that, Mueller was the head of the FBI when they got Blago. So that just a little something. Maybe he wants to throw Mueller under the bus too, right? Whatever. It's just going to work. Now, here's the thing. Here's the deal. He claimed it was 18 years that he was sentenced to. Sentenced to 14 years. That's a big number in public corruption. It's one of the largest sentences ever in public corruption. I think it's either first or second longest sentence. So
huge. And the judge specifically said that was the reason behind that was because he was sending a message to other Illinois politicians that, hey, this kind of thing is not okay.
Because Rob Blagojevich ran against the public corruption of
George Ryan,
right? So he was like, vote for me. I'm the clean guy. In the meantime, there you go. He's got, I'm not giving this freaking thing up for freaking nothing. Right? I mean, that's the way that went. So they said when they, there was an appeal of the sentence, and they actually struck on technical reasons five of the counts and then resentenced him. They just held the sentence up, and the Judge Zagel said, hey, listen, there was such a preponderance of evidence here, overwhelming evidence of his attempt here.
They did throw out the ones mostly related to the selling of the Senate seat. It was over the jury instructions that they didn't distinguish that from general political log rolling. Log rolling being when you say, I'll vote for your bill if you send some money to my farmers in my district, and that kind of thing happens all the time. That there wasn't distinct jury instructions that told them, hey, this you have to consider, is this different?
That's where the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals got in and did that. Now, I don't want to get too deep
in
the weeds here.
It just people still cite the Senate seat selling, and that really isn't central to what he actually now is serving time for.
So he got the 14 years. They upheld the 14 years. Judge Zagel said they could have given him 60 if they wanted to. So 14 seems, and they wanted to send a message. Right, send a message, which, by the way, message was not necessarily
received. No one heard the message
particularly well.
No,
but that's that just is what it is. And now, what Donald Trump is doing by doing this, it's like, A, he's, here's another politician that was, that Comey and the gang went after. So he's going to send a little message that way, send a shot across the bow of the FBI, and send a message to the rest of those people around him who he might have said inappropriate things on the phone to, that if they keep quiet and even if they have to go to time, that he is willing to pardon people.
Would he pardon or commute? Because that would be different, right? Because if he commutes a sentence, it would be, hey, he served enough time. It's been, what, 7.5 years, whatever.
Right. Well, he's said both words. So it's unclear what he means. Commute is commute. I mean, that would be the easier thing for him to do politically, I suppose. He served enough time. But he'd have to say he served enough time, not that he was wrongfully, then he has to pardon him if he believes he was wrongfully prosecuted here.
I thought it was interesting. He specifically mentioned Patty Blagojevich and that she is a good person. She hasn't done, she's, as you just played, she was on those tapes. She obviously knew what was going on, but that he mentions her. And it tells me that her, campaign to approach this president, to appear on Fox News, to get her message out is really resonating.
Yeah.
He's on the radar of the president.
Sure.
Hard to do.
Yeah. You got to get on Fox News, get on the radar.
True. That's a way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way people petition for jobs in the White House, too, we've learned.
Yeah, that's how you audition. You get on Fox News, and you get up there, and you defend them. And sometimes you get on CNN, and you defend them, too. I don't think he watches a lot of MSNBC. All right, Ben Bradley's going to join us here in a second. He's got his own thoughts, because we all covered this at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, over time people forget the details of these things. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
The emotions wear off and you're like, oh, the guy's done enough time. Let him go. But is there anything about the rule of law? Have you seen this group, Republicans for the Rule of Law, that is coming out with commercials now that are going after the president of the United States? And these are all big time conservative Republicans that were in public office and, pundits and things like that. That are trying to send a message. Is there anything about the rule of law that should be respected here? No? Maybe? Anybody? Anybody? Hello?
Is Pierre anybody Lott? Listening?
Yes. Anybody out there? Okay. Right now, first, though. Kim, what is happening in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Well, you're talking about former Governor Rob Blagojevich. We're going to tell you what Governor Pritzker thinks about a possible pardon.
And then there's this. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Did you realize I have twice been given a longer prison sentence than Al Capone? I've been given a longer prison sentence by the same judge who gave a mafia hitman who acknowledged under oath a contract killer. But my judge gave me a longer sentence than him.
There you go.
I think that's the part that really strikes a chord with a lot of people. If you just go interview people, talk to people, they say, you know what, you might have been guilty, but it seems like a long period of time.
Ben Bradley.
It was a long prison sentence, and it didn't occur in a bubble, and it wasn't just about the charges against Rod Blagojevich, right? Let's not forget that Blagojevich went to prison right after the previous governor went to prison. The 6.5-year sentence for George Ryan didn't apparently teach Rod Blagojevich anything because, as the former FBI boss in Chicago told me, he remembers sitting at George Ryan's sentencing hearing next to the U.S. attorney at the time, Pat Fitzgerald, watching Governor Ryan get sentenced while knowing that Rod Blagojevich was already under FBI investigation for corruption himself. So, yeah, when you look at it as an isolated incident that oh, well, this is just, you know, political corruption or a white-collar crime, it does sound like a harsh sentence. But when you look at the bigger picture of what was going on in Illinois and the message that the politicians weren't getting, I think that puts it in more perspective.
Well, let's look at it the perspective of the judge. The judge said this was to send a message. It was intentionally a tough, rough sentence because of that. And you look at, was that message heard? I mean, could we honestly say we look today at our political climate in the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois and say that none of this is going on? None of this political horse trading that is the part that's illegal? It doesn't happen?
I think the other thing that weighed on Judge Zagel's mind at the time was the fact that Rod Blagojevich never really came clean and never, you know, in a full-throated, convincing way, said, I did wrong. So, you know, yes, he, you know, pled not guilty, and you have to argue throughout, he did through two trials, that he did nothing wrong. But then after the conviction, defendants are given the opportunity before sentencing to make a statement where they take responsibility for their actions. And I went back to December of 2011 today because, as Roe, you pointed out, so often, you know, all of this kind of gets lost in a jumble in our brains. And I wanted to see just how much responsibility Blagojevich took at that sentencing.
How dare
hearing.
You do this?
I apologize. He said, and I quote, "The jury decided that I was guilty and I'm accepting of it." So that's kind of a caveat, right? That's not saying I did it. It's saying the jury said I did wrong. He even stopped himself at a couple moments during the sentencing speech that he made, where he saw himself going down the track of repeating the things that he had been saying for years leading up to it, which is, hey, I honestly believe this was just honest political horse trading. And I did. And then he stopped himself in the sentencing hearing, realizing that the judge probably wouldn't look too
harder.
Fondly on that.
Yeah.
You know, and then immediately after the sentencing, the tone went back to, I didn't do anything wrong and I'm the victim. And so often, at least traditionally, when you're looking at anything from a commutation to a pardon, one of the factors that's considered is, have you taken responsibility for the crimes you committed? And certainly, especially since President Trump came into office, there has been a very deliberate media strategy on the part of Rod and Patty Blagojevich to appeal to President Trump and his own problems with the justice system. I mean, Patty Blagojevich, as you talked about, you know, went on Fox News, went on all of Trump's favorite shows, and repeated word for word some of the president's favorite lines about being slighted.
Yeah, by the FBI. And
yeah.
All that. And, they, you know, these are grievance collectors. They, you know, Rod Blagojevich was a grievance collector. He's always a victim. You know, the people are always out to get him. The, you know, the president has the same rhetoric. And it's interesting that that's a political archetype to have people who will do that because they draw a lot of attention to themselves. They're dynamic. They're interesting. Rod Blagojevich was really good at selling the line of bull crap that he did as a politician to say, you know, I'm a man of the people. I'm going to help you with this. I'll never forget when all of this was starting to amass around him. Mm-hmm. When he was like Saddam Hussein. He had a press conference with a bunch of kids at it that were sick, right? And then it was like, you know, he was going to help them. He was going to make sure that they were going to get funding, right? It was like, I'm going to, you know, the guys down in Springfield, all these people are trying to get me. I mean, look at this. I mean, these kids. Look what's going
to
happen.
You must want little Johnny to die of some awful disease.
Or your grandmother not to be able to ride on the CTA for free. Remember that?
Yes. Right. Yeah. And then at the same time, he was holding up a children's hospital for a political donation.
Exactly.
To actually get them on the list to get paid.
Not just Children's Memorial, not just Lurie Children's Hospital, or it was known as Children's Memorial back then, but also a racetrack owner and others, an actual shakedown for campaign cash.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, in that sentencing statement that Blagojevich made back in 2011 in front of that federal judge, he did take full responsibility for one thing, and I want to read it to you. He said, and I quote, "If this case was about someone charging me with being self-absorbed, I would have cooperated and pleaded guilty immediately."
Well, that's good self-awareness. All right. That's something the president will never say.
It's interesting because the president has hinted at this several times before, and you wonder if this time it's for real or not.
Well, he's getting us talking about this and not the gun thing.
Well, there you go.
But I don't think the nation's talking about this. I talked to some folks who do network news today, and they were like, what do you think in Chicago about this? And I'm like, it's a pretty big story. I said, what do you think the nation's temperature for this is? Not very high, they don't think.
I absolutely agree with you. And the people who are saying, oh, the president's doing this as some sort of distraction, I don't think it gets him much more than 20 seconds on the national network news.
True.
But then again...
Well, you know what you could do is you could turn that into, I think that the people, he's sending a message to everybody else. He's to the Paul Manafort's of the world and everybody else, keep quiet and you're going to get commuted or pardoned or whatever it happens to be. Because listen, I got my pardon pen out. So it's purple. My purple pardon pen out, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to do, look at what I did, mommy. When he holds up everything that he does and he shows his signature, it's like a skyline. It's all buildings. Look at that. All right.
Alrighty, we'll see you on the news at 4 o'clock. By the way, former FBI Chicago boss Rob Grant will join us live on set. He's the guy who knocked on Blagojevich's door and arrested him years ago. He'll give us his thoughts coming up at 4 on WGN.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
We're going to steal that for the top 5 at 5 then. Is what
perfect.
We're gonna do. All right.
Good material
Thank
for us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Helping you.
Yes. That's right. That's
what it's about.
That's what you're here for, Ben. All right. Thank you. We'll see Ben at the 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 or whatever goes on there at WGN TV News. And now Kim Gordon's got the WGN Radio News.
Honestly, did not know that the rat had a name.
This is Return of the Rat, right here. All right.
Scabby.
The Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Chicago has created a lot of things in its illustrious 175 years or whatever we've been around as a city.
We sure have.
A lot of things.
A lot of contributions.
The zipper. Do you realize the zipper was invented
for
in Chicago?
For skyscraper.
Right. The deep dish pizza. People always talk about that. Losing traditions where people love the losers. I mean, all these things, all invented in Chicago.
True. Many contributions.
We changes to the language. Instead of going, I'm going over to my mother's house, you're going over by your mother's house.
Right.
Right.
The A sound in, pronunciation of the letter A.
Mm-hmm. As Lauren will tell you, what are the three majors?
Garbage, car, salad.
Where's your ma at?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that?
What you may not know is that Chicago is also the home to the rat, the blow-up rat that sits in front of primarily construction sites, but there could be other labor disagreement places where this rat gets inflated and it sits in front.
Or it goes on a protest march in some cases.
Yes.
Pushed along.
And so the rat has a name. The name is Scabby. It was invented right here in Chicago And now it's a national phenomenon, I think, for the last couple of decades. As a matter of fact, it even appeared in a Sopranos episode in New Jersey.
How about that?
But scabby may get exterminated because the National Labor Relations Board says that scabby is a violation of labor practices because practices, see what I said?
Perfect.
Because it is menacing and intending to intimidate.
Robert, I can't disagree with that.
Robert Chanik joins us from the Chicago Tribune. He's been writing about this in the business section. And what say you about this? There are a lot of people are now blaming the Trump National Labor Relations Board for this, and that this is, you know, business owners don't want this kind of thing, and they you know, they would like the hobnail boot of oppression on the throat of the union members. That you're getting a lot of that kind of pushback today. Are you hearing that?
Well, in fact, the general counsel was a Trump appointee, the one who's authoring these legal briefs. So it's not a crazy stretch to say there's some connection. As I said, as you bring up, not a lot of people knew that scabby was a Chicago creation, and he's in trouble. We'll have to see how it plays out.
they're gonna have to off scabby. I guess here's a question. What if you made scabby less intimidating? See, now our version of scabby, the original, the one that, you know, the blow up doll, that or the blow up rat. He's big. He's about a story tall. Right, he's got big teeth. Right. He's got sharp, kind of scary looking claws. He looks very aggressive. It would be the sort of thing that if you were alive and walking down the street, you'd want to cross over to the other side of the street. I think there's no question about that. But if you made him more of a cartoon kind of a rat, little less of a
kind of a Mickey Mouse type of a rat.
Yeah. What if they did that?
I don't know. Maybe that's where they have to go with this. I'm not sure. It's part of it is just the obstruction, though, that in the legal briefs they were saying, it's hard to get there. First of all, people know what it represents, so there's a sort of implied coercion that, don't come here. They're,
what if it's cute, though? If it's cute, it might be welcoming.
The funny thing is, on background, the union guys, I went out on Washington Street where they had four of them lined up yesterday, and they'll tell you that people love scabby, that, kids come up and pet them, and
really?
People honk, and I watched a few people take photos with big smiles on their faces. So,
Come over here, reporter. Let me show you something. Let me show you. Look at these kids. Look at these kids. Love them. Like, hey, go pet scabby. What'd you kids pet scabby?
But so they're saying that it's unfair because it's intimidating people who might otherwise be going to the business. So they're ruling for the business owners, or what? How do we interpret this?
Part of it is that, and in fact, it gets a little kind of deep in the weeds in some of these things. But for example, I mentioned this Philadelphia Fairfield Inn, which is sort of the seminal case here. That the beef is usually with the contractor that hires the non-union labor, which is what the unions are bringing the rats out to
construction
complain about. But then they say, well, what about the hotel itself, for example, in Philadelphia, or the restaurant that's in the hotel, or maybe other business nearby? They're not the ones you have the complaint with. That's the argument. And that the big rat, you put it in front of the restaurant, well, who's going to go in there?
Right. So,
and in fact, it's playing out in Chicago at this new urban space food court that's being built. The same premise that there are other tenants in that building, and I know that the contractor was saying, well, what about them? He described it as looked like a fortress guarded by rats at one point. There were 17 inflatable rats.
Yeah, what? I mean,
the building.
Do we know how many there are in the Chicago area? Because,
see a lot of
you
them.
Do see them quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the company, Big Sky Balloons, which makes the trademarked Scabby the Rat and claims that they invented him, they told me three dozen a year and they're not cheap. I mean, it's $5,000 or more. And the unions I talk to, most of them have a supply of them, you know, 7 to 20 rats.
Yeah, you got
to
have them. Got to have a rat on just in case. And then you got to go get the big blow up. You know, you got to get the compressor to get the thing, going. And there's a whole thing. I'll bet they're heavy too, because you got to have like a big sand bottom or whatever that you know, locks them down.
Right.
This is, you know, it's work. It's union work, by the way, to get that thing, you know, blown up and ready to go.
That's for sure.
It's, you know what, something though, and you drive by it and you see it and you're like, and sometimes there's a protest around it and sometimes there's not. Sometimes it's just sitting there.
Right.
And sometimes I figure that it got parked on the street. I've seen them in parking spaces, which is really a funny thing. Yes. Like it's in a park. I think some of these guys use it to hold a parking space. I'm not 100% sure.
It's kind of a dibs thing, right? The chair, they put out a 15-foot scabby. And
Right. The ultimate dibs.
Just try to take this spot, you know?
Right. Have at it.
Interesting factoid, just as long as we're talking about this, and you mentioned Sopranos, the company told me that there's more Scabby the Rats in New York than Chicago, that it's actually a bigger hit there. So it's an export.
Imagine. Yes. Yeah. I know, it's a great, right, exactly. Finally, they're accepting something of ours and you know, they're running with it.
And not claiming that it is theirs initially.
Yeah. I bet they do.
Do they all use it in the same way, though? Is it kind of to represent non-union work or to represent, you know, union, some kind of union contract? Is that what it's used for universally?
Yeah. It's as far as I know, it's always to make their case. What one guy said to me is, you know, you have six guys at a site with signs. People go ho-hum, they drive by. You put this guy up, you make the same point that, you know, they're not paying what they would say are standard wages. And, yeah, they decided to go big, you know, and say, this is the message. So it's usually delivering that message. They do have smaller ones, too, by the way, like 6 to 8 foot ones that you'll sometimes see strapped on the top of a car.
Oh, yeah, a car. I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scabby's bad in a windstorm, though. That's not a good...
Imagine if it got loose.
Yeah, no, right, exactly. Down the Kennedy. I'd like to see Scabby in every one of the major parades, too, in Chicago. I think that would, see him like going down the St. Patrick's Day parade. Because, let's face it. I mean, these are generally union-inspired, so that's a good... It'd be kind of a good thing.
Sure.
Put Scabby in a big, you know, like a tam o'shanter and a, you know, give him a shillelagh. I don't know. Something.
I'm still picturing Scabby in a windstorm when waking up in Oz, right?
That'd be scary.
All right, Robert, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Alrighty.
Robert Chanick
from pleasure.
The Chicago Tribune, the business section. Please. All right. I read that story today with such gleeful pride that Chicago was behind this thing in the first place.
You'd suspect it anyway because of our pro-union values here in this town, but it's interesting. New York Times even wrote an article about Scabby, how it originated here, and how originally the business owners are, you know, Chicago or Illinois people who were asked to create a menacing rat for a union protest, and that's how it all began in the 1990s and it's continued ever since. And spread, turns out, across the country.
Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chanick. I would say, Ms. Gordon, what is happening in the news at the top of the hour?
Mr. Khan, several Democratic candidates for president have a new label for President Trump.
Coming up on the program, Dr. Willie Wilson is here. He wants reparations. And have you seen the TV commercials?
No. Does he personally have them out?
Yes. It's Willie Wilson, our, you know, the mayoral candidate and a kingmaker, I would say. And remember, I mean, here's a guy that did very well in the mayoral election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the run for president didn't quite go as well. The run for governor didn't quite go as well.
Nope.
But the mayor thing was good. Sometimes it's wacky. Right. Sometimes when you hear him, you're like, wait, what is going on?
Like the time when he said we needed a white police chief, a black police chief, a Hispanic and an Asian or an other.
Yeah, that other might have been that.
Or something like deputies, some chief, somewhere.
Whatever. But he's
a very unusual plan.
But he's a brilliant guy and he's an out of the box thinker. And that's what we love about him. And he's a self-made dude. He is a guy.
Oh, an incredible business story.
Yeah. So he is. So he's decided, because he's made a lot of money whether he was a McDonald's owner operator, he's also an entrepreneur, and he owned a bunch of other kinds of businesses that were very, very, very successful. He has decided that he wants to, you know, he wants to be in the public dialogue. And that's what he's doing. And we give him time because he's just fun as hell to listen to. He's what we call in the business great radio.
He's got a big heart, too. I will say that.
He does. And he's got also one of the most successful, he's got the most successful television show based on gospel music.
Hmm.
Right? So it's a nationally syndicated right out of Channel 9 here, not a Tribune. Nationally syndicated gospel show that runs on Sunday mornings throughout America. And he does have a gigantic heart, and he's very fun. And we love him, even though sometimes we don't understand him.
Yep.
That's how that goes.
And he stops by regularly because he lives right next door, so it's also very convenient to book him. Isn't that true?
It's true. I believe, you know, there's a lot of people who should get a talk show, and then there's some people who should not have them. I sometimes can include myself in that. And I think Willie should have his own talk show, but that's a separate issue. Again, not always. Part of it is the puzzle of like, okay, what is he saying and why is he saying what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the best part of him. So here we go. He's going to be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Mike Monaco is going to join us about the Blago sentencing in the 5 o'clock hour after the top 5 at 5. And we got to think about the Bears tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Think about bubble wrap. I actually just dropped off two mm-hmm. pallets of bubble wrap
Good.
And duct tape.
That's needed.
Over at over by Soldier Field.
Did you get enough to wrap around Khalil Mack, even though he won't be playing, right? He's not going to see any play time today.
Right. I've actually...
That's a lot of bubble wrap.
Yes, I've gotten...
He's a big guy.
I also got a gigantic radio flyer to put him bubble wrapped on and then move him up, like a cart that they move him around on, because I don't even want him walking.
No. I bother.
Right.
It's too dangerous.
Exactly. Maybe some light stretching. Light. Light stretching, I said. All right. We'll get you all caught up and ready for that as well. And we've got the news with Kim Gordon coming your way in 2 minutes. All right. He's here. He's back. Dr. Willie Wilson. He is a... all right, now he ran for mayor. Okay, he's not mayor, but he's a kingmaker, because as you know, it was one of those things where he had to. You got in the middle of a couple of things after the election, did you not? To try to influence things that were going to be occurring.
Well, we are still involved the best way we know how, you know. So we're not going to just sit on the sideline.
No, you were not.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you've got a pack now, the the Willie Wilson Progressive Pack, but you're a business guy too. You're fiscally very conservative about you know, right?
Yeah, I watch my little pennies.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, and you understand that.
Yeah.
But now you can do a couple of town halls on reparations. You're going to do one on Monday, August 12th, and that is going to be at the Belmont Cragen Community, 2909 North Central Avenue, mm-hmm. and that's Latino, Hispanic pastors and community leaders. And then on that Thursday, the 15th, Ravenswood Community, Bill for Descendants of American Slavery, reparations.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the first one first. The Latino, Hispanic pastors, community leaders, is that, what are you talking about with reparations there?
Well, we're really not. I'm going to all of Chicagoland neighborhood, pretty much, before Sawyer going to introduce it September the 18th.
Roderick Sawyer.
Right. So we did it already in the African American community, two already last week.
Okay.
All right. So we have the next two coming up next week, and we're going to have a total around about anywhere for about five more after this one.
Okay.
All right.
So what is your plan for reparations? What's your idea?
Well, you know, 400 years of free labor, descendant of slaves. All right, that they donated to America to help build America, and the land was once upon a time back in 1865. Abraham Lincoln really had his general to take in, give land from the South.
Yeah, 40 acres and a mule.
40 acres and a mule.
Yeah.
And then after he was assassinated, the guy who preceded him turned around and gave the land, took the land back.
Right.
Gave it to the Confederate.
Andrew Johnson.
Okay. So afterward, we'll look at it this way, is that the land was promised and had it and taken it back. You look at people like in Japan, you know, we rebuild that. They bombed Pearl Harbor, right. Native America. Right now, there's a crisis in Chicago that's violent, you know. And we, you got people got to get out of the, what you call the hard knock of the times. All right, we got to find the money and find ways of doing it, like free education, senior citizen, all the state of college. And this reparation.
So the idea is not to give cash to people, or is it is to give cash?
Would mine's it be a dollar not, amount to every man,
no,
woman, and child,
no,
my, or services?
Mine's not that. Mine's not that. Now, this is not something that I started. This is a national one.
Okay.
All right. I saw the opportunity to raise the issue.
Right. All right. To use your voice here in Chicago.
Right. Because if Chicago can get it going, then that means, in my opinion, we can get around the country.
So explain what it is. So where,
how
where
would it work?
How much is it, and where does the money go?
Well, let me put it this way. If we find the money for everything else, for example, we find the money right now for Sanctuary City, you know? We found the money for Japan. We find the money for corruption. Chicago is number one, I think, city now in corruption in the world.
Yeah.
All right? The state is third. Okay. To pay for that corruption, it cost, like, I think it was $9.3 billion. All right? Those numbers are there. All right? I'm not asking for money. You take the African-American in Chicago, average families, $36,000 a year, Hispanic, $46,000 a year.
That's white. Average income for,
yeah,
for a household.
Yeah, and white is $81,000. So African-American making now what white made 50 to 75 years ago. So how you going to ever get the crime down, letting people continue to do what they're doing now, mm-hmm, and filling up with jail, paying more police department and things of that nature? Let's take that and give people a break. Now, everybody that is black is not descendant of slave. Right.
So how would you disambiguate that, as they like to see on Wikipedia?
Well, look, I don't have all the answers. I put the bill together. That's why I'm going to different communities.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have 5, 6, 7, 8 aldermen already supporting it. I tried to reach out to the mayor. I couldn't get a meeting with her or return call. So we went to the next step, you know. And so now we have this now. So we're going to have to figure it out together. For example, I don't want money. For myself.
Right.
All right?
I mean, you're flush.
Well, how would you exclude people who make over a certain amount or have a certain
amount? We started with the very poor. Very poor.
Rock and, now, and again, you're not giving them money. You're giving them services, essentially.
Services, only. Like a trade, you know, free trade, learn a trade, to
like
learn how to...
Free education.
Education.
Okay.
Yeah, health care. Things of that nature.
All right.
Bottom line, economic equality. And
but aren't people already getting health care, for example? I mean, they get Medicaid at a certain level of income. So, but does that, I mean, the people who have argued for reparations, let's say for the last 50 years, it's been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
They primarily was about a dollar amount. And that, and the question always became, and I think that's the thing that knocked it off the table every time, which is, you know, what's the dollar amount? Who do you give it to? How do you prove that you are the descendant of slaves? That's very tough, right? Because it's a paperwork issue. I mean, are you a descendant of slaves?
Yes, I am. And, well, my record, last week, my sister did. I'm definitely. Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And you can, and is there a way that you can backtrack that, do the roots thing, and
yep,
figure out,
mm-hmm,
who it is? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we went all the way back to my great, back in 1803.
Wow.
And my eyes were rough. Now, I am from Jim Crow days, so I know what it's like.
Yeah.
I'm a living proof of it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I did not know that I had a cousin who had a baby raped by a white man was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I found it out the other day. 5 years old.
5 years old.
Uh-huh. I did not know. It was mind-boggling. All right?
And this was in Florida? Is that where?
Louisiana.
Okay.
Right. I did not know that. All right? Wilson, Louisiana. Because they thought at first he had a tumor in his stomach, and it was a baby. Mm-hmm. 5 years old. All right? Raped by a white man.
And when was that? How long ago was that?
That was back in 1863.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And it was interesting because my sister did it, and I was reading it. And we went way, way back. So I can relate to all of this here because I, you know, grew up in the courts. And we was able to hustle and to make it without hating anybody. Mm-hmm. All right. But today is a different world. I think you got to go back and you can figure out this stuff and find out who to give it to where. And mine is not giving each person $100,000 or $1 million. Not that at all. All right. Mine's by building infrastructure so you can raise a family. And you can take care of yourself. We can stop the violence. We can start doing living like citizens. We pay more by fighting things.
Right.
All right. So why not let's deal with it? So I figured right now, white and black should come together and talk. Let's work these things out.
I think the discussion is certainly something that should happen. What we're being told, though, is like a lot of people who might agree with it in principle look at our city finances right now, and I think the middle class feels extremely pinched. I mean, you ran for mayor. You heard from people directly. They feel like every time they turn around, something they're reaching into their pockets again. The real estate taxes, all the other taxes have gone up. We're told at the end of this month, Mayor Lightfoot is going to lower the boom again on taxpayers by telling us about a shortfall that was larger than anticipated, mm-hmm. inherited from the prior regime, is the way we're told she's going to position it. So again, mm-hmm. reach out to taxpayers. And it feels like at what point, how do you keep doing more with a shrinking pie? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that reality we've talked about before when you're running for mayor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing about it, I'm definitely coming out against her on taxes like I do on everybody else, all right? Mm-hmm. How can you continue to raise taxes? You continue to run people out of the city of Chicago, all right? Or run them out of state. I run them over to Indiana.
But then where do you get the money for this? You'd have to move it from something else.
Well, here you find the money for everything else, all right? If you stop the violence and give people a job, give them equity, 31% of African-Americans live in Chicago, but yet now they pay taxes, they get less than 1% of their jobs. If you'll save money that way alone, all right? We got to stop kicking the bucket down the road. We found the money for O'Hare, Lincoln Yard. You know, we found the money for those. Now we're going to try to find the money for something else.
Well, O'Hare, yes, but right? Lincoln Yards is the private project.
Well,
I mean, there's going to be infrastructure, but that's jobs, that's housing, that's moving more people to the city of Chicago, that's increasing a tax base. I mean, that's it. Now, O'Hare is also, you know how critically important O'Hare. You're a business guy, right? International business guy. You know how if you don't have O'Hare being great, there are other cities that people are going to be flying through and in and out mm-hmm. of.
Well, I'm saying this here, though. We got to come together and start talking about it and work it out. If there's a problem in our house, we got a problem. Look, I don't have nothing wrong with Sanctuary City, but look, what about the black status here? This is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, we get the people killed this weekend, which was sad, all right? But in one weekend, we get that in Chicago. Right, so this is a national problem. This is a serious
right.
problem.
That is true, and we've been talking about that all week. Is that yes? That you know, it's awful what happened in El Paso and what happened in Dayton. But the reality is that we do need to. Even Ivanka Trump said it. She said it the wrong way. She's apologized now for saying it the wrong way. But the point that is being made is we do need to focus on that. But we have been focusing on it, and it seems intractable. And you and I have been talking about this for years on the radio about what we can do and where the police play in this and where the community plays in this, where the church is playing this, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there are a lot of there's a lot of ideas on the table. A lot of them don't actually get done. I mean, you're going to have these town halls, and again, the two that are coming up Monday at Belmont Cragen Community Center, which is 2909 North Central Avenue, and then on Thursday of next week, a week from today, at the Ravenswood Community Center, 1507 West Sunnyside Avenue. And I just think that it's a good conversation to have. I don't know where we find the political will to make these changes.
Well, I put it this way: if somebody come right in Chicago now, if you and I right here right now and had a disease, let's just say mumps, but a bad disease,
mm-hmm.
it's got over Chicago. We're gonna find a way to fix it. All right.
Right.
This killing is better than that.
Yes. Right? Right.
So, but a Chicago problem, and I've always said this here: it's corruption. They're not managing the problem.
Correct.
Every time you got a problem in Chicago, they raise the taxes. That's not the answer. You have to manage your way out of these things, just like I manage my way out of my business. If I got a problem in my house, I don't come to the city of Chicago and ask for, you know, tax money. You got to balance it out.
Let me ask you before we let you go, because this is something that you and I have talked about a lot. The casino, you think, is a big play here. And that now it looks like the casino, because of the gambling bill that has happened here. There's a lot of other pieces to this gambling bill that is going to, they're going to be an expansion of the casino out near O'Hare. You've got Northwest Indiana is now going to start expanding theirs because they want to start to compete with whatever's going to happen in Chicago. And the Chicago casino doesn't seem like it's going to get built and you know, operational for at least 5 years. So the question is, and then Mayor Lightfoot put out a list of potential places for it, some of them far flung. I get the idea of trying to build in a neighborhood, but that's not where the money is. And the tourists, so we need to go spend their money at the casino because we want their money. We don't necessarily want our money in those casinos, are not going to go to those neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to build it in a place where people got money at, right? I would put it right here on Napier, or I put it right out here on 31st and by McCormick.
McCormick,
right?
Yeah.
I put it out
31st
there,
31st and King Drive, or yeah.
Mm-hmm. And look, but make it fair in terms of as related to parity and economic equality, and the job will still be there. But you got to put it in a place where people have the dollars. We don't build a business in an area unless the area supports the income. You know, the same way we got to build a McDonald's. We survey the area.
But I think the mayor is saying, well, let's put them in areas where it would create jobs that are local. It would create investment in a community that it doesn't get it. And that seemed to be her focus. Now there's been some pushback from people say you're not going to get exactly what you're saying, right? You're not going to get the tourists.
But I would do it this way. I would put the business at the city of Chicago, $10 billion. They put distribution centers and things of that nature. Put them into the area, the depressed area.
Right. That's a good idea. The logistics centers and things like that. And, you know, that's one of the things that is increasing. You know, the president likes to talk about the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans. One of the reasons is the gig economy. But first of all, that's a statistic that I think, you know, you could drive through the west side and the south side of Chicago, and I think you would find that it doesn't look a whole lot different than it did 3 years ago in terms of, you know, people standing around, you know, with not actually going to work, but on the street corner. And because there's a separate economy in that. Right. No, these people are not they're technically unemployed. I doubt that many of them are actually collecting unemployment, but they're making money in a separate economy, right? In the gang and drugs economy.
Absolutely.
So that's just a totally different thing. And that has to be addressed. And that's, you know, that's where we talk about policing and all that. And we, you know, we keep looking at the side of the problem as opposed to looking directly at the problem and being honest and saying, calling it out for what it is and saying that these young men that we have got to change their, and women too, as we now know, but these young people, we got to give them a different way of thinking about this, and the only way to do that is to show them opportunities and to show them, and then they go, well, why do I want to go work in a warehouse where I can, you know, make a couple hundred bucks a day, you know, selling drugs? And that's it's got to be changed. But Willie, thank you as always for
thanks
being.
Thank you,
Willie.
Appreciate for having it.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up in just a few minutes?
Roe Atlanta is changing their scooter rules. We'll tell you why coming up.
It's the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. You know, Ro, the Rubber Ducky Derby was today. I didn't hear if you won or I won.
Oh, wait, hold on. Would they email us? What would they do?
I think you do get a notification via your sign-up. You did, I think you put in your email, right?
All right, I think I did. Hold on, I'm going to look at my emails right now.
I'm going to check mine, too, real quick.
Yeah, because the Rubber Duckies, they dumped them all in the river.
Right.
And then they float.
And they had 63,000 of them this year, which is, I think, if not a record, pretty close to it.
What a great cause that is, Special Olympics.
Yes, yes, yes. And they had everybody out there, beautiful day, dancing, singing, coming out along the river. And several ambassadors from the Special Olympics program were there, as well as those dump trucks dumped them all into the river. And
I didn't get anything.
Nothing, me either.
Mm-mm.
Yep, me either.
Okay.
But know that you got the satisfaction that you gave to a great cause.
Don't get
it's That's what you got.
I can't believe I lost.
And you tried to call in like favors to guys that you knew and stuff, and
I did.
It didn't work. Turns out that didn't work.
I tried to corrupt the Special Olympics, like Chicago soft corruption, which, yeah, listen, now the president will just pardon you for that. You're going to get commuted. You know, there could be, the funny thing is, you notice everybody, I've noticed this while watching the local television up on the screens here.
Yeah.
It seems like there may be some action on this fairly quickly.
Ooh.
If there is a commutation, it might be, I mean, this, listen, if Trump didn't float it because he wasn't going to do it, I think he's floated it before, though.
He's entertained it.
But then he got shut down by the Illinois delegation. They called him and they're like, hey, you know, and plus people at the Justice Department. Plus, Dan Coats is director of national intelligence.
He's not around, and neither, yeah.
Right. I mean, you just the list of people who are. I mean, listen, I'll put it to you this way. I don't think that is respectful of the rule of law for the president to commute the sentence of a guy who, you know. So when the judge said, look at the preponderance of evidence here, and this is not about the FBI, you know, a bunch of scoundrels in the FBI just trying to go out and get a guy. Right? The tapes. I mean, Trump obviously wants it for himself. He wants this. He thinks works in his narrative, and it's another way of proving that the FBI is out to get him. And I don't think that that's going to play particularly well at the FBI. I don't know. I think people are going to be not happy about that.
Lawmakers from Illinois, again, are reaching out to the president in the wake of his comments today outside Air Force One to say, do not commute the sentence, Blagojevich. Congressman Kinzinger among them and several other Republicans from the state of Illinois saying, do not consider it.
Yeah. I wonder if Kinzinger's on the poop list now that he wants some changes in gun safety laws. Although the president was the one who came out and said it first.
He did.
I don't know. I cannot follow. I swear to God, I cannot follow from minute to minute what is going on here. Because it's just flipping back and forth. But I think he's going to do it because it changes everything. And it's it'll get people just talking about him. And most of the country doesn't care about it. But it'll drive people nuts. You know, in the cable news world and here.
Well, it almost allows the president just another chance to go after the same Justice Department officials
right.
that he likes to go after.
But they have nothing to do with this.
It may be more about them than Blagojevich.
But Comey wasn't in the job then.
No, he was not. He was.
Oh, wait, he said Comey and those other, whatever he said. What was the word he used?
Those sleazy.
Sleazebags.
Sleazebags.
Yeah,
that's right. Sleazebags.
Comey and the sleazebags.
A gang of sleazebags.
Name of my new band, by the way. It's a tribute band. Comey and the sleazebags. But I'll tell you this, though. I will say this. It will be very entertaining to have Rob Blagojevich back here in Chicago doing the media rounds.
Yeah,
talking about how he got screwed over. Right. He's not going to go. He didn't go away quietly even when he went away. Right?
No.
That's not what's going to be happening here. All right.
Okay. Mayor wouldn't weigh in on it today. She was asked about it. Mayor Lightfoot said that she thought it was kind of cruel for him to dangle it if he's not going to do it because that gives hope to the family, but she wouldn't weigh in about, you know, whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Okay. Oh my God. But it's like the Hydra. You know, it's like it is like the monsters arrive. Like all the things that we thought. All right, we got to at the end. Remember how tired people were of Blagojevich running around and the Sam Adam at the trial and the whole thing. And then you had the hung jury on the first one. You had to go back and do the thing again. It was so clear what he had done, but yet he was claiming that we didn't hear what we thought we heard. Right, and he was like the first. He was the patient zero of telling us, "Don't believe your lying eyes." Right? Who are you going to believe? And now we've got this like 24 hours a day, right? Don't believe that. I didn't just say what I just said. Yes, you did. Just say what you just said.
The biggest complaint I hear from people is that they think that, you know, even if what he did was not becoming or was downright wrong or was just unethical or illegal, they think that the sentence of 14 years was far too much. And I hear that all the time. We have someone on our text line right now. He got more time than Jared from Subway. So, I mean, people feel as if he commuted the sentence, I would guess that a lot of people would feel that that's okay. He served 7-8 years, then okay.
Also sends a nice signal. to a few folks. Keep your mouth shut. You hear me?
And by the way, Nick Lorenz, the ambassador from Special Olympics, weighed in, too, to say, sorry you didn't win the duck derby race.
What?
But thanks for contributing to Special Olympics, Illinois.
I gave Nick a nice C-note, right? You know, over by the, when we were over by Fatty's last Friday.
I know, he saw that.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, there's a little something.
He tucked it in his pocket, like political style.
Yeah, I'm like, here's a little something. Make sure the duck, make sure that my duck is well positioned.
Weighted properly.
Yeah,
exactly. What you
said. I'm going to put a little motor on the bottom of the duck.
Next time,
right, like a little
you're
propeller.
Choose your duck,
right? And with a remote control, like a duck drone, is basically what I needed.
Oh gosh,
water drone. All right, Robert Grant, who was the former head of the Chicago office of the FBI, special agent in charge of the FBI here in Chicago during the whole Blagojevich moment, was just on the WGN TV news with Ben Bradley, who covered this story. We all covered this story.
We did.
We're all there for this. This
very much so.
And so there are details here that are fresh to us, really. And maybe a lot of people have forgotten about, but here is Robert Grant's reaction on Channel 9 just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, what I saw in terms of his revelation to the press was most of his information is taken off either talking points provided by Rod Blagojevich's counsel or what he saw on TV. It doesn't have any depth to it in terms of the nature of the crimes, the seriousness of the crimes, the extortion of people who were in charge of children's hospital, racetracks, things of that nature. I don't think he understands the facts of the case.
Referring to the president there. Well, I mean, has that ever stopped him before?
And as Ben pointed out when he talked to us earlier, he said that while the George Ryan corruption trial was underway, he didn't reveal this at the time, but the FBI was already considering Blagojevich and his actions.
Right.
And so you think about that.
Yes. You got to think.
Kind of context of a moment in time.
And here's Rob Grant on the president's reaction.
The problem I have with the president's tone and his comments most recently is they have the appearance of a pardon, not the appearance of a commutation. And Rod Blagojevich has never accepted responsibility for the things that he did. And to me, the first line in any kind of commutation ought to be, did you accept responsibility? You might, I don't think anybody really cares whether he gets let out of prison early or not. I don't think the prosecutors care. I don't want to speak for them. I don't think the agents care that much. But it's the tone of why he's being let out or why he's going to be commuted. But I've seen this in my entire 29-year career of the abuses based on privileged status of people who get pardons, who get commutations that don't deserve them.
Oh, man.
I think he's also thinking about Blagojevich being out there talking. Oh.
And then here's Robert Grant, again, special agent in charge of the Chicago office, former special agent in charge of the Chicago office during this time. And he's curious about the timing of this for the president.
If you think about China, North Korea, two tragedies in the past few days, mass shootings, so many other more important issues in the world where the president ought to be spending his time for the American people, to focus on this seems to be odd to me, but I can't speak for how he spends his time and what he spends doing.
Oh, boy. Okay. That's all I got. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. But by the way, that is a Rob Grant is a steely-eyed lawman. I got to know him over the years. He is a very diligent public servant, a very diligent representative of law enforcement. Was always, they always talk about the difference between police and FBI and all the kinds of things that sometimes competition and bent feelings and things like that. Rob was always very, very, was always trying to make sure that relationship, especially as it pertained to the joint task forces, there's a number of them where you've got Chicago police and FBI and county sheriffs and state police and everything, involved in the same kind of units doing the same things so they can all look at it, sort of a collaborative position. He was always very, very good at that. And he's a man of great integrity. So I think we just, I want to defer to those of integrity here, not those who are constantly lying. All right. About things we just saw. You didn't see that. Yes, I did.
You didn't just hear that.
Yes, I did. Sorry. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Chicago Public Schools unveil what they're calling an equity budget for 2020.
From Concho with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
We got a top five coming your way. Mm-hmm. We got Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in about 2 minutes or 3 minutes away from right now. And we also have Mr. Monaco. He's going to be explaining the legalities of a Rob Blagojevich commutation versus a pardon, which we think might actually be happening fairly soon. And also on the Andrew McCabe story, Andrew McCabe is now suing the Justice Department, saying that he was falsely fired in the Trump administration. So that is something that's going to be
happening.
That is a bit of a development. And Mr. Richard Roper is going to be here to do some reviewing.
Yep.
Of important things. So it's all coming your way right here, 720 WGN Chicago. Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN Chicago.
So excited about the Bears season. So excited. I even got my plastic see-through backpack ready for game one.
Lauren Lapka on traffic and Kevin Powell on sports and Bears sweating. I've noticed that
How come you're not mentioning the Packer fan in here?
Is there somebody else
talking?
Back there? Wait, hold on.
Someone talking?
Somebody
hello,
talking. Somebody's
hello,
microphone's
hello.
On.
Go, Packo.
Going through a tunnel. Going to lose you. Oh, my God. There was such trash talking on the group text this morning amongst all of us.
By 8 in the morning.
Beautiful.
Come on.
It was good stuff.
It was Bears
it really
versus
was.
Packers, and we got one Packer fan on this show. And that is, by the way, one too many. As
I can hold
as
my own.
I was going to say, yeah, for how many are against her, she can. She can.
Yeah. She did
and
a
I
nice...
do have some help in here now. Don Kleppen is now a Packers. Well, he's been a Packers fan, so having him in here helps.
Yeah, no one cares about the Packers.
All right.
Don Kleppen. You're going to have to do better than that, Kim. You're just going to have to do better
Packer
than that.
Packer fan in here.
You're going to have to find another Packer fan somewhere.
I think there's some somewhere in this building.
We're going to have to find out if Lapka secretly is a Packer fan.
No.
Are you kidding me? I would take her on my team.
Oh, my God. That's a major insult.
I kind of want to slap you in the face just for thinking it, bro.
Easy.
You're lucky I'm in this small traffic box.
All right.
Positive energy, guys. Enough of this Packers garbage.
All right. Well, let's just think about the Bears, and we'll do that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, because Adam Hoge is out there, right?
He's out there.
Out there at the Soldiers?
He's out there. I'll be joining him, and I'm sure we'll all be flocking to the kickers immediately after the game in the locker room.
Oh, you're going to be joining? Are you going to the game?
I'll be out there.
All right. All right. I got a thing. All right. let's do this.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Backing in at
number five.
Kim Fox got her first official Democratic Party challenger to her re-election bid, which is next year. Seems like she just got there and started screwing up the system. Who is this person you're asking? Assistant State's Attorney
Bill Conway.
I believe also a fellow, I think he went to my high school.
Oh. Same time?
Go Latin. I don't know what the mascot is.
Romans.
Go Romans.
Go Romans. Fear the Roman.
Fear the Romans. The Latin Romans.
Right, Latin Romans. It's like, I mean, we might as well have been just the Latin nerds. There right. was just not, I mean, there was.
A lethal debate team there. Look out for the debate
yeah,
team.
Like, oh, ouch.
No one's beating the Latin Romans in debate.
Chess team?
Swords.
Very strong.
Swords and fencing. We were particularly great at fencing.
Math club.
Right. Ascot wearing. I mean, there was a lot of ascot tying. Remember we did that? We tried to get that initiated in the Independent School League. All right. That's who he is. There are others who want to get into this race. But it's going to be interesting to see how many people try to flock to this, because she does seem a little embattled.
My name is Bill Conway, and I'm running for state's attorney. Let's go after the gangs profiting by flooding our streets with illegal guns. The old way of keeping illegal guns off our streets isn't working. I want to use new tactics to track down and stop the funding that brings illegal guns onto our streets. I believe the office where I once worked, a place I really respected, needs change. The state's attorney's office should be fair, just, and equal. I'm running for state's attorney to enact real criminal justice reform, make our streets safe again, and get politics out of an office where it doesn't belong. It's a new day, and it's time for a new way.
Yeah, there you go. Go Romans. We're going to have to put him on so we can actually ask about the debate team.
Talk about the glory days in Latin.
Yeah. They've had a couple of pretty good basketball teams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over the years.
All right.
And the swimming team. I don't know why that. You know, it's one of those things.
Swimming makes sense because every kid probably has an in-ground pool in their house.
An indoor pool.
Indoor pool.
In their condo. Right. Yeah, that's the way it went. Yeah.
Doing laps.
I got to say, the basketball is surprisingly high quality.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll
keep an eye on them this year.
Yeah.
I'll give you updates later on this year.
They had a 7-footer at one point.
Did they?
Yeah. They had a kid that went to, I think it went to North Carolina or Duke.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google this.
Yeah. Look
check
it up.
That out,
his
Kevin.
Seven-foot kid.
Seven-foot kid.
We have his shoes at the Harry Carey's Navy Pier.
Really?
Yeah. He's got gigantic shoes.
You don't remember his name, though?
No.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Look it up and get back to me on
that. Okay.
Look up famous Latin School of Chicago alumni, and he'll pop up. I will not. All right. Checking in at, because I'm show folk.
Number four.
President Trump says he's considering commuting the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich. President told reporters on Air Force One yesterday that he thought the former governor was treated unbelievably unfairly. You can still hear him saying this, can't you?
Yes.
The president went on to say that he thinks the former governor's wife is fantastic and thinks that serving 7 years is enough. But former FBI special agent in charge of the Chicago office spoke to Ben Bradley at WGN-TV just a few minutes ago and says that Blagojevich was well under investigation while Governor George Ryan was being sentenced for the hired truck scandal.
Yeah, the investigation was already well underway at that point, and it was amazing to me that we were sitting at the sentencing of George Ryan, a Republican governor who was convicted and sent to prison, and at the same time we're going through that sentencing phase, we're already deep into the investigation of Rod Blagojevich and people around him.
Right.
So the history of the state and the history of governorships, one right after another, speaks to the need for harsher sentences on politicians who take advantage of their office, not to serve the public good.
I got to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting around in Southwest Side.
Yep.
In a real nice house on a block that doesn't have houses like yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a long-serving Chicago elected official.
Yep.
Are these words you want to hear? Isn't it time to call up Donald Trump and go, listen, preemptively, I want you to remember, I got you a really good tax break on that Trump Tower. If you're thinking about the commutations and stuff, you might want to think about that.
It would be understandable if somebody was extracting a price for a development project, saying, okay, I'll agree to the development project. In return, I want public parks or things like that might benefit the public. But the nature of Rod Blagojevich's conversations and crimes and actions speak to, I want to enrich myself. I want money in my pocket. I want money in my campaign coffers. And I've always drawn this conclusion. If he was so, if his actions were so innocent, why did he want his campaign offices swept of mics and bugs? Mm-hmm. You only do that if you're a mobster or a criminal and you don't want anybody to hear what you're having a conversation about.
Or an Illinois politician. He did not say.
The tapes are priceless, though.
But the president is saying that the tapes just show that he's using braggadocio and not ever acting on the selling of the Senate seat. And he says my favorite part is when he says he would never particularly use braggadocio.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't do that.
Right, I don't do that. No. I don't. Right. Things
it's
I don't do.
It's not his thing.
Right. They stopped him before he did it because there would have been a constitutional crisis. Because you've got to remember what was going on there. That was Barack Obama was going to the presidency. Right? And so whoever was going to be and there were a number of things that had been stalled and they were going to get voted on. And the question is, was there going to be an Illinois representative? And they did not want to then have to get into this whole issue of having a senator that would be illegally placed in the position. Do you remember? That's why they stopped it. They didn't want it, and then have a crisis about whether or not, and an argument about whether that's a legitimate vote in the United States Senate.
Or whether or not Senator Roland Burris was a legitimate senator.
Right.
Right. Well, which ended up happening.
That was a separate issue, right. So then we got Roland Burris. It's like, hey, I'll do it. He'd already put future former senator on his gravestone
or something.
All right. Oh, my God. I can't believe we're going back to that. And that seemed like such innocent times compared to where we are now.
That's true.
Let's talk about what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news.
Roe will tell you who may be behind the president's announcement to pardon former Governor Rod Blagojevich.
This week on Chicago's Best, things are getting out of control. From the spiciest wings to the biggest burger, Chicago's Best Outrageous Eats, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Ro, you made the alumni page for Latin School of Chicago. Go Romans.
Go Romans.
WGN radio host Ro Khan, class of 82. Doug Sohn went there?
Doug Sohn, hot Doug, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Deck.
Oh, I didn't know Billy went there.
Yeah.
A lot of politicians, too.
Grant DePorter.
Yeah.
William Wirtz.
Oh. Yeah.
William Wrigley.
Oh.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. We're going to play. We decided this is the guy.
Yeah, we're going to do this.
We're running for state senator. We're going to play Latin School News or Ruse.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't it be funny to get it all wrong?
Yeah.
They're known for being so smart.
Yeah. And
Kenny George was the basketball player you referred
right.
to.
7 foot seven.
Yes. UNC Asheville.
Correct.
Is where he went to college.
Yep.
Yep. There you go.
Go Romans.
Yep. Fear the Roman, because they'll sue you. That was our chant. We'll sue you.
Do you know who my dad is? That's the chant. On three, do you know who my dad is?
Right.
One, two, three. Do you know who my dad is?
Right. My dad's going to get you anyway. Something
right.
like that.
But right. Not my
That's
dad's
all right.
Gonna,
That's
not
okay.
My dad's going to beat you up. And my dad's going to beat you in court.
Number three.
Oh, God. I guess I was privileged. That's what you have to say now. That's the new thing that you have to say.
Apologize.
You have to apologize for being privileged. Yeah. Similar to last year's Oscars telecast, Fox Entertainment CEO Charlie Collier confirmed this year's Emmy Awards will be host-free because nobody wants these jobs anymore.
I don't understand that.
This is why millennials don't have friends. Because you can't have.
How
you
is
can't,
that correlated?
Please listen. It's because people can't. You can't have a. You can't do anything because no matter what you do, you're going to be criticized for it.
What does that have to do with millennials alone? Everyone is criticized for everything.
We're under attack.
Yeah, but you're the ones attacking. You're eating each other.
Why don't you eat your own words? Look at you. You're attacking us.
You got her going now, Ro.
Go Romans.
My dad will sue your dad. Anyway, okay, so here's the deal. So he confirmed that what many insiders had suspected, seeing as the 71st annual show is a little more than a month away and no one had been announced. You wonder, because they generally, because wherever it's going to be on Fox, so mm-hmm. The other networks use their late night guy.
Right.
Because it moves around between the networks because it's the Emmy Awards, mm-hmm. right? So it's between the major four. But Fox doesn't really have a guy like that.
Could have had Hannity do it.
Yeah, they could.
Oh, God. At least they wouldn't care what's being said about them, right?
Right. That's, yes. Well, no, but they would.
I don't think they have souls.
What's interesting about this year to me is how many amazing shows we're saying goodbye to, right? I mean, you've got obviously Game of Thrones and Our Own Empire. You've got Veep and Big Bang Theory. And this is new to me. I've never worked on the Emmys before. You really do have to look at all the trade-offs of, all right, if you have a host and an opening number, that's 15, 20 minutes you can't use to salute the shows.
Right, and you got to pay for that stuff. Why should we pay
come
for
on.
It?
This is a classic entertainment executive say, well, we really didn't want a host anyway. And they did not directly address the question of about whether anyone had declined. Just saying.
I would like to see Hannity come out and host the thing.
Or Shepard Smith, so the president can make fun of him again.
Here's another liberal show, Empire. Oh, man.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Okay. Can we get back? Can we?
Yeah.
This is the worst presentation ever in the top five.
Two. He was trained to kill, and now he's back. The enemy may have a missile, but we have machete. Nobody knows machete. Machete kills.
Danny Trejo has been on the show. Friend of the show. I'm going to call Danny Trejo friend of the show. He is, you know, always one of the great bad guys ever.
He is.
One of the nicest guys in Hollywood and one of the great bad guy actors. Especially when he gets a ponytail going. It's oh my God.
He just instills fear just seeing him.
He's almost in every prison yard scene from the 80s and 90s.
He works
sometimes
a lot.
He's like an uncredited actor. There's always one guy who comes up to goes, "You're going to keep your mouth shut around here." And that was him, like, early on.
He's good at it.
Well, it turns out he helped rescue a special needs child trapped in an overturned car in L.A. Happened to be in the area when two cars collided. One of the vehicles overturned onto its roof, and a young child was trapped inside. Trapped in the car seat, he and another bystander helped rescue.
He was a special needs, my kid's mom works with special needs kids, and so I kind of dealt with him. So I said, okay, it's okay. And he was panicked. And I said, okay, we have to use our superpowers. And so he screamed, superpowers. And we started like yelling superpowers. And I said, do the muscles. And he's muscles. And so we got kind of like a bond, I guess. Everything good that has happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. Everything. And that's the way I live.
There you go.
Brings a tear to your eye.
God, love
more
that
Danny's in our world.
He says exactly, and he actually said that. He said, "This is what we're supposed to do: help each other." And then he also it was found out that he does work with a lot of special needs children, so he, you know, has a gift at interacting with them.
There you go. And finally,
number one.
You know, they say that when you're in a city you never visited before, you should just look up. That's what 100 tourists were doing on board a Chicago sightseeing boat late in the afternoon of August 8th, 2004. That, unfortunately, was also the exact moment that there was a tour bus crossing a bridge on Kinzie Street. And the tour bus driver decided, you know what would be a good idea? Is to dump the effluent out of the toilet in the tour bus through the grated nature of the bridge on Kinzie Street over the river, just as the tourists were looking up at the skyline and the architecture. Right there, right in the eyeball.
So if they say that getting pooped on by a bird is good luck, then what do you think?
Not by a rock star. I can tell you that.
No.
No, you don't know what's in that.
No.
Right.
No.
Ugh. And then they all started to realize what it was. That was, I mean, imagine that realization when you're on that architectural tour. And suddenly you're like, what is that? And then you realize, and you see the color of it.
So many cases of pink eye.
60 pounds. 60 pounds of rock star poop.
Ugh.
Right there.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
It just doesn't get any better over the years. It's still just as disgusting.
couldn't hit the water, could they? Just had to hit the tour bus. Had to hit the tour boat. Tour boat, tour bus. Oh, God. Oh, God. The humanity.
Ugh.
All right.
Talk about bad aim.
Happy anniversary. A great day in Chicago history. On this day in Chicago history. All right. I think it's time now to... This was a mess. Almost as big a mess as that was. He's in.
The top five at five.
Yeah, what have I got? Oh, the people are going to be mad and the newspapers are going to rip me for this, okay? I busted my ass and pissed people off, and I gave your grandmother a free ride on a bus, okay? I gave your baby a chance to have health care. I fought every one of those, including every special interest out there who can make my life easier and better. because they want to raise taxes on you, and I won't. I fight them and keep them doing it. And what do I get for that? Only 13% of y'all out there think I'm doing a good job. So all of you.
Oh, just a reminder.
Commute away, Donald Trump. Mike Monaco is our legal analyst right here on this very radio program, The Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, in case anybody asks. And
how are you, Ro?
I couldn't be better.
Hi,
Michael.
Mike.
As far as you
hi,
know.
Hi, Anna.
Now, let's...
Oh, my God. When you play those tapes, it reminds me of all the horrible things that he said. Oh, my God.
Now, saying horrible things is not a crime.
No.
Right.
Well, it can be. I mean, he was trying... Apparently, he was trying to sell the Senate seat in order to get a benefit. And if you talk and try to sell a Senate seat, that's an attempted crime, and that's one of the things he got sentenced for.
Yes.
Now,
let me stop though, because there's two things. Everybody thinks about the Senate seat, but he got. The Senate seat, five of the counts related to the Senate seat were taken out in the appeal because of a technicality, right? Because of a jury instruction. And
that's
so
true.
Now, but however, he still could be sentenced on what he was not convicted of in federal court, right? That's a rule. I don't know if I love that rule, but that is a rule.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Now, what he was convicted on, though, was shaking down Children's Memorial Hospital.
I know.
For them to get their money, they had to give him a campaign contribution.
Right.
That they were owed by the state. And a racetrack owner. The guy's from Balmoral.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Right?
That's exactly right. And for that, the judge sentenced him to 14 years in jail, which at the time, you and I predicted that he would be getting 14 years. Because of all of the craziness that went on while his trial was pending. Remember when he went around the country on his publicity tour, and we're saying, why is he doing this?
Right, proclaiming his innocence and doing things that generally are frowned upon by sentencing judges, because you proclaim your innocence in public, you know, doing as much as you possibly can so that you can maybe potentially influence a jury pool, which is what they argue about. Now, the same guy who represented Rob Blagojevich, of course, went on to represent Drew Peterson, doing the exact same thing. That did not help Drew Peterson either, as you'll recall. The guy who was convicted of killing his wife, that he has a wife missing, but then they figured out, hey, he probably killed the other one, too.
I'm not sure they're the same lawyer, but...
No. It was the publicity guy. It was the guy who represented... it was not a lawyer. He was a guy who set up the media tour,
stuff. Okay, I understand.
So
this was insane that he did that. It was unusual, something that nobody ever does. He chose to do it. He chose to go on Letterman and these other shows and proclaim his innocence. And then you remember when he came for the trial, he was led to the... They told the jury in the opening statement he would testify, and then he didn't testify. And the judge was so upset about that because he changed the rulings to allow certain evidence in, presuming that Blagojevich was going to testify. And then when he didn't testify, when there was the hung jury, the judge was very, very upset. And the judge answered that by giving him 14 years in jail.
So, well, I mean, there's a many reasons. Now, there's an argument. I hear this argument a lot. I think that the public appetite for the 14-year sentence isn't as much as what people in the criminal justice system. Robert Grant, who was the special agent in charge of the FBI office here in Chicago at the time, was on Channel 9 today, and he was talking about the fact that he was at the sentencing of George Ryan. George Ryan, the governor who went away for, what is it, 4 years, 3 years?
I thought it was six.
Whatever he ended up doing.
I thought 7 years.
All right. Mm-hmm. So he was at the sentencing of George Ryan, knowing that they already had, the FBI was already deep into the investigation of this governor, of Ron Blagojevich.
How about that?
Yes. I know. It was insane. It was insane that he got in trouble so quickly, just on the heels of the fact that he got elected because he said that, because Ryan was convicted. So it was just was indicted. It just made no sense.
And a half years for George Ryan. So I guess the other question is, if the president does commute the sentence, and he does have full authority to do that, is that at any time, Mike Monaco? And then would it be immediate? Would it be time served? You're done?
Could be. Whatever
walk
he wants.
Right out.
He could let him walk right out. He could pardon him, which would be crazy if he did that, because of all the convictions he did. But, you know, there are certain rules regarding pardoning folks, which this president has not followed. Remember when he pardoned Arpaio? He did that on his own, didn't go through the process. He may do the same thing now.
When he handled ASAP Rocky, did he do that according to the way it normally is done?
I don't think so. I don't know.
We're going to bomb Sweden.
Yeah, he called Sweden for that.
Sweden, you have 5 minutes to let ASAP Rocky go, or we start firing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's also part. Didn't he help commute a couple sentences that Kardashians asked him to commute?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
A couple of women. It's like, it is a television presidency.
Yes.
It is a reality television presidency.
Yes, we are aware of that. And now and one of his castmates on The Apprentice is now going to get a pardon.
Exactly.
It's really going to be something.
That's what I say.
I think he's probably, because he's going to have to split the baby here, he's probably going to do a commutation as opposed to a pardon, because he can just do that and he can say, time served, thank you, good night, and then let him out. And I agree with Lori Lightfoot, who earlier today said it's kind of cruel for him to lay it out there. And if he's not going to do it, he laid it out there before. And I think that Patty and the children who are now grown, you know, I mean, they're I think late high school and college age, right? Those kids, you know, they want their dad home. I get that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I do too.
And I have empathy for them in this.
I do too.
And so that would be the to me the only silver lining of this, but there are a lot of kids who want their parents home who are in the clink who did bad things.
Everybody who's sentenced has family.
Right.
That's right.
Pretty much.
So
some of them have family that's no longer talking to them, like myself. But there's, you know, you've got that. But here, the thing is that you have an opportunity here for him to come back. And I hope he's back in time for Elvis Night at Guaranteed Rate Field.
At Guaranteed Rate.
They're throwing out the first pitch.
Yes, I think, right, exactly. Commuted former convicted governor of the state of Illinois. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Big Guaranteed Rate Field. Welcome for Ron Blagojevich.
Come on.
I mean, it's like,
it's a crazy world. It seems to be getting crazier by the minute. So, I don't know. If he can't commute him, can commute a sentence tomorrow to let him out
tonight. Could do it tonight. I have a sense, and I have no intelligence on this. And so you could just stop. I could have just, without saying on this. But there is, I have a spidey sense, and you know I have these things and I get them right.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That it's imminent. That. It's imminent. He's going to do it, and it's imminent, because I don't think he would have floated it again if he weren't going to do it. Because he was already kind of pushed back on it before, and he seemed to listen to the pushback. But now all of a sudden, he saunters back in that weird sort of, you know, walks on the, you know, with from heel to toe, heel to toe, heel to toe, sort of slides. Yeah. He slid on Air Force One over to the press area, and he just rolled this thing out last night. And in part, I mean, it appeared that the El Paso visit.
Yes, when he has a bad week, he does sort of things like this. It seems.
Yeah, and the El Paso visit, he didn't want that to be the story. Yeah, I think he knew he had to go. Hold on one second. I knew he had to go to Dayton and El Paso, but then there was going to be this video dropped of him at the El Paso hospital talking about his crowd size the last time he was in El Paso, and how Beto didn't have a crowd size and crazy Beto that. I mean, it was, and so I think they knew that was going to happen, so they needed something to throw out, but that's not big enough, because it's big in Chicago and in Illinois. It is not a gigantic story anywhere else. People don't even know. Right. No one can pronounce Rob Blagojevich's name anywhere else.
A That's true too. But it's sort of no matter what you say about Trump, I do think 14 years was a bit excessive, especially when the Seventh Circuit knocked out five of the counts. The trial judge had a chance at that time to reduce his sentence, which people.
Oh my God! First of all, I mean, do you remember the victory lap that he took on the when there was the hung jury and he walked away like he was a full acquittal?
Right? Oh, I know.
I mean, there was his behavior surrounding all of this.
There are plenty of reasons why a judge would be angry at him.
Yeah, okay. Well, but I mean, he was combative and he was disrespectful of the system and disrespectful of the rule of law. And I just and that just seems now to be, you know, a more commonplace. And I think it's scary and unsettling to a lot of Americans right now about where the country is in terms of the rule of law. And you know, can you just lie about anything and get away with it? And Rob Blagojevich was doing that at that moment in Illinois history.
I agree with that. It is unsettling. Very unsettling.
Yeah, and so I think that, you know, it's almost the perfect thing for Donald Trump to do. And now Blagojevich gets to come back and claim this, you know, the whole thing. He was set up by Comey and the rest of the sleazebags.
That's what I think it's about, right? I mean, the president, he didn't stray far from Blagojevich. He said a few things about Blagojevich and then immediately said he was persecuted by, like, kind of the same folks, the Comey and the sleazebags that, you know, go after other innocent folks. It seems to be more of a way of slapping back at that system and those people.
What now, Comey?
What the president's done to the FBI and the Department of Justice is probably the worst thing he's done as president, because people have less of a respect, less of an understanding, and less of an appreciation for what the FBI and the Department of Justice is supposed to be doing.
Excellent point. Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Hey, then why is he? Comey wasn't. I mean, Comey might have been in justice at that time, but he was definitely not the FBI. That was Robert Mueller, who was the head of the FBI back then. And I don't know if Comey was an assistant attorney general or I don't know what he I don't know where the Comey piece comes in. And by the way, that the entire Blagojevich investigation was run out of the Chicago office, and Comey was not in the Chicago office of the U.S. state's attorney.
The U.S. attorney with Comey,
right?
But now we know that the two former FBI heads are suing the FBI. All of this is so unsettling. And, you know, it's just very.
Yeah, Andrew McCabe is suing for being for malicious termination or whatever.
Right. He's the fellow who was about to retire in March of 2018. And literally hours before he was supposed to retire and receive all the benefits of retirement, after 35 years with the FBI, Trump fires him. And it was like, really? You're doing that? Doesn't that seem spiteful? And that's what he did. And that's why McCabe is suing, just like Strzok.
But McCabe, did error, didn't he?
Well, he said, they claim, the Inspector General did claim that he had done an unauthorized disclosure to the media, which it's unclear if it was unauthorized or not, because part of his job was to disclose things to the media. But then they also claim that he was not truthful in discussing it with the Inspector General. So it's hard to say if he deserved to be fired or not. This is something that will end up in a trial.
Yeah,
just like Strzok is going to end up in a trial.
It also feels like the discovery piece of this, they might be part of what they're after, don't you think? That they'd like to see.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Who leaked what to whom?
This could be 10 years of trials after the president is out of office.
And, you know, the president has said so many things that are going to hurt the Department of Justice in that case. Because, do you remember,
Mike,
he said, regarding Comey, he said he's going to fire Comey and everything else.
Yeah, we got to go. But I appreciate you taking time.
My pleasure.
He's wearing a Speedo now on a dock somewhere. I can just tell.
See you, Anna.
Right. Goodbye.
Nailed it.
Bye,
Mike. Bye-bye. He enjoys his life. Still takes time to check in with us.
Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
New support for airlines trying to crack down on so-called support animals.
All right, we've got, coming up at the top of the hour, the news And then Mr. Richard Roper is going to be here. We're going to talk about the new Melissa McCarthy movie, and the which is interesting. It's got Elizabeth Moss and Tiffany Haddish in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Costner plays a dog.
Yeah.
In these kinds of movies, the dog is always dead, and talking about what it was like before. But it is going to be interesting to see if Kevin Costner can play a dog. So we'll talk about that. And bad news. Huh. Bad news, Kev.
What?
Shallow?
Hey, God.
I know. There's a lawsuit over Shallow. Was Shallow stolen?
What?
Wait till you hear this. It's coming your way. Right after.
Jackson Maine.
This. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio of the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis, and it's being brought to you by Architect.
How about that?
All right, now let's talk about something particularly important.
Okay.
The we have coming up after we're going to get through these reviews in a more expedited way, because there is a major lawsuit that just hit concerning A Star Is Born.
And a particular song that you and Kevin enjoy and cry during.
Well, and a song that Richard wrote a parody song to that he and Lauren performed was a big hit, such a big hit, even Bill Murray called.
Oh my gosh, she stole it from us, didn't she? You wrote it first.
Are we going to be called as material witnesses at some point?
It is not unlikely that that will occur.
All right. I stand by our video.
Yes. So
wow, excited.
Yeah. So now we're gonna have to do a little DJ court on this and figure out if this actually did happen.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, I've listened to this and it's case closed.
Oh wow.
Oh. Yeah.
But we'll get to it. All right, let's talk about The Kitchen.
Yeah, The Kitchen. Okay, so Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, Elizabeth Moss. Now there's some casting right there,
sure.
Right? And this movie is set in 1978, Hell's Kitchen. They are the wives of Irish-American mobsters who have just been sent to jail, and now they're going to take on the life of crime. If that sounds similar to the plot of Widows, which we just saw last December, it's because it is. Separate stories. This is actually based... A lot of people think, oh, it's 1978 Hell's Kitchen. This is based on a true story. No, it's actually based on comic books, on a series of comic books.
Huh?
So it's kind of intriguing, and it's great dramatic material. We already knew Elizabeth Moss, of course, could do dramatic material. Melissa McCarthy has done some great stuff, and now Tiffany Haddish. But the movie's kind of garbage. The biggest problem the biggest problem here is that once they decide they're going to take over the operations for their husbands, how easy they do it, and then it just becomes the filmmakers really, they're like, wow, we can really explode heads with different types of gunshots. So everybody just keeps getting killed. That's how they keep resolving plots, with like sudden gun bursts. Unlike, the best mob movies where things happen that lead to that. By the time Joe Pesci gets whacked in Goodfellas, it's because they beat Billy Batts to death and he was a made man and they weren't, and then all these things happen. Then he gets whacked. Here, just a guy pulls out a gun and keeps shooting people in the head. So it's kind of nasty. And they become so enamored with killing, they're more like psychopaths than like anti-heroes. So 2 stars for Hell's Kitchen. Forget about that one. For The Kitchen, it's called The Kitchen. Set in 1978. Also, Common's in this movie because he has to be in at least in one movie a month, and he plays the FBI agent who's out to track them down. And everybody else looks like they're in 1978. Common just looks like he walked off one of those commercials where he tells
looks
us
like Common.
We can aim high. They gave him a mustache, but there's something about Common.
Uh-huh.
He could be in a Gladiator movie. He could be in a Star Wars movie, and you're going to go, that's Common. That's right. Our guy.
He looks like he's giving a TED Talk.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Always. In every movie, he is wearing the headset.
Yeah.
Which I think is weird.
Yeah,
in the 1970s. Also, I think in the Roman, he's wearing a toga and a headset. I think that's very weird.
I feel like they might have showed him, a lot of the other men are wearing those horrific late 1970s plaid sport coats and stuff. I feel like they showed him that and he goes, I'll just do like a beige and a brown,
Yeah,
he could walk off the set down the street and no one would go, why is Common dressed like the
70s? Yeah. Mock turtleneck.
Yeah. So 2 stars for that. Well, give me another one real quick. All right. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This one's called The Art of Racing in the Rain. Now, you might have seen the commercials for this. They've got Milo Ventimiglia. He's the guy from the saddest show of all time, This Is Us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this movie's also got it's told through the point of view of a golden retriever. the saddest and happiest dog in the world, but the dog that gets us the most sad sometimes. And the dog is voiced by Kevin Costner, who also makes us cry. And then it's got that Amanda Seyfried, who's like, Mom is always dying in the Mamma Mia movies. It's the saddest, cryingest movie ever.
Oh.
And, you know, I kind of like the idea of the, you know, when they tell the story through the dog point of view. But the whole time, you're just like, that's Kevin Costner as the dog. He doesn't try to sound like a dog.
He doesn't growl or bark or anything. You
know, we got it. Well, listen, listen. This is right, this is Kevin Costner as the dog.
Call it fate. Call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be his dog. Denny always said the best drivers focus only on the present, never dwelling on the past, never committing to the future. Reflection must come at a later time. Which is why drivers compulsively record their every move with their in-car cameras.
You gotta turn earlier. You better run on that corner.
What does a dog know about that?
Yeah, the character's a race car driver. And also in this movie, you know, right off the bat, even when he's a puppy, he sounds exactly like Kevin Costner. And he keeps bringing the Milo Ventimiglia character. He keeps bringing the puppy to the racetrack. Don't bring your dog to the racetrack.
That's dangerous.
Bad for their ears. And everything else.
Hey, is the dog dead in this movie?
It's hardly giving anything away. This one of those movies that starts with the poor dog curled up in a fetal position, unable to go outside anymore and do his duty because he's sick.
Is he looking back?
And then he goes,
life.
Well, you know, I never wanted it to work out this way, but I'm Kevin Costner. And then
I'm
back
already.
And then other people die too. It's very crying, but it seems manipulative. It's based on a novel that was on the New York Times bestseller list for like 4 years.
I can't do any of those dog movies.
And I think if you read it, I know, and that's the thing. You know, they're well made, but they just feel like they're just yanking at your heartstrings. I feel like the book, you know, told through the dog's point of view and the kind of the analogies to racing and everything might work better. But when you got Kevin Costner voicing the dog, it's sort of like when Beyonce was voicing the lion. You just keep thinking, you can picture them in the studio in their sweats getting a giant check. And it's then going to the commissary, like, I'm done for the day. Okay,
yeah.
Kev. 2 stars for The Art of Racing in the Rain. Don't go see that either.
I don't understand the dog, the dead dog. Damn it, I got to come out of a dead dog letter.
Exactly. Here's the thing about these dog movies, unless they're animated, even then some. The dog, even the greatest, most wonderful, luckiest dogs in the world, don't last as long as the humans usually in the movie. By getting the dog, you know you're going to bury the dog.
Right.
Well, you know, when they get little Timmy the dog when he's sick, when he goes off to college, old Yeller ain't going to be able to jump off the bed anymore even to say goodbye to him. That's how it works.
Okay, so that's the that's the thing. The only dog movie that I ever liked was that where they had to find their way home.
Cujo?
A Long Way Home?
A Long Way Home.
Great
right.
flick.
Yeah, now that
My Dog
good.
Skip was a good one.
Did the dog die in that one?
No. See, you got to have a dog. You got to have a movie where the dog does not die.
The dog's purpose. Then they had that one where the dog kept getting reincarnated throughout the movie, which means you had to see it die 4 different times, including one time he was a Chicago police dog.
Oh, I couldn't handle
it. Who saves his beloved companion by jumping in front of the bullet on the LaSalle Street Bridge. And I'm like, who would bring their kid to this movie?
You're pounding the desk more than Hannity right now.
Well, this is the de Blasio of my movies. So don't go see either one of those.
All right.
I'm Richard Roper.
Sounds terrible.
Thanks. All right. We're going to find it. Wait. I got to play this. Wait till you hear this.
Okay.
On the other side, the movie, the song of last year, of the fall, Shallow, from the movie of last year.
Oh, jeez. Poor Dorgan. That one didn't have a good
one
either.
Star is Born. Oh, God. There is now a lawsuit about that song. There is a person claiming that was their song.
Oh, gee.
And that Lady Gaga and Mark Ronson, right? The movie, the music producer and artist and all of that. Yeah. And of course, the brother of Sam Ronson.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know him.
Okay.
Was it
part of
was
Uptown
you?
Funk?
Yes.
Everything, basically.
Well, yes. He did everything. Yeah. He's the producer of this decade. But this other guy named Ronson is claiming, not related, and not spelled the same way, is claiming that his song was the song that was stolen by Mark Ronson and Lady Gaga.
Wow.
We will be the judge, jury, and executioner coming up. Right after Kim tells us what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Row ICE agents have been spotted in one Chicago neighborhood. We'll have details coming up.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need
Is there something else you're searching for?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
All right, there you go. There's that song, Shallow, right? Number one hit.
Familiar with it?
Yes, in the fall, into the spring.
Oscar for best song.
Right. Won the Oscar for best song, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now there's a guy who has come forward to say that, whoa, that's my song.
Oh, boy.
Court is in session.
Okay.
This is a, hold on, let me just get it up here. I gotta get the proper, for this to be a legal action, mm-hmm. I have to have all of the names right in this.
Well, we just saw Katy Perry lost her, what was it, Dark Horse, right? Big Settlement for that mm-hmm. song, and that one didn't, oh boy, that seemed like a stretch.
I would have thrown that out of DJ Court for sure.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, unfortunately, in this case,
it seems to become easier and easier to do
this. In this case, it may not be the case.
Oh.
Let us now listen to, this is another guy named Ronson, Steve Ronson, who claims that just a few notes, specifically the three-note progression in the beginning, is based on his song, Almost.
Can't you see that I'm almost home? And I can feel that I've been gone too long. 'Cause every time I'm here, you always...
Okay, this is where it leaves. It's not the same, right?
That one doesn't make me cry either.
Yeah, right. However, we mashed them together.
Okay.
You tell me if this is a lift.
Okay.
Can't you see in all the good times I find myself
guilty as charged.
Yeah, I think that's the guilty one.
It's three notes. Three notes?
Yeah,
that's enough?
What are these going to end? It's like
a speeded up version of it. Now, but doesn't he also have to prove that that got into the hands of an incredibly successful producer-songwriter and incredibly successful star-singer-songwriter, that they got it, that they had possession of it, and then wrote their song? Or they just happened to hear it?
Or at least hear it?
Yeah, they had to have been exposed to it.
Right? They have to.
He released this movie in, this song in 2012.
Yeah, it took the world by storm.
There had been fewer than 300 streams of it on SoundCloud as of the story posting in the New York Post today.
Hmm.
I just don't understand why three
Maybe
notes.
When Gaga was dating Tyler Kinney, he was a big fan of that. She's one of the 300 that streamed it. She was walking by the bathroom one day. He was prepping for his role, and she heard it.
And they can prove that he downloaded that.
Even if you ruled in favor of him, though, would you have to give him just 3/200ths of your royalties for the first 3 seconds?
Well, here's the thing: it's three notes, but also even though the next three or four are different, the fact that they go right back to it just like Shallow does, or, you know, just like the other one does. So you think it is similar?
Oh,
too
very
similar.
Much so, yes. Just because half of like an 8-note verse is different, I mean, it would be one thing if it was just one part that had three notes, but it's the repetition of the three notes consecutive.
To me, it's just so weird because you go back to the Blurred Lines case and they actually admitted that Martin Gaye's music inspired them, that they were inspired by his music. They listened to his music when they wrote it.
Yeah.
It was a little different than just having three notes that seemingly kind of overlap or coincide with what. I mean, I just don't know how this ends if you're going to give this is okay.
I just want to say that I don't think that Steve Ronson is inspiring a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Steve Ronson is. We've never heard of Steve Ronson. Mark Ronson, we know. Sam Ronson, we know.
We do. We know.
Mick Ronson. Lohan, we know.
Mick Ronson from Foreigner, who's a different Ronson.
Right. The Steve Ronson, I don't know who the hell Steve Ronson is.
Steve Ronson Chevrolet in Tampa, for all we know. I don't know.
Why are they bringing it up now and not, you know, right at the Oscars when they won the Oscar for the song?
That's when they first heard it, probably.
Well, you're bad, buddy.
I don't like this one. I really don't. Not
happy
with it.
Maybe he can open for Gaga. Just do like his half of his song in Vegas.
I mean, you couldn't avoid that song last fall I mean, it was everywhere.
It was.
Do we have our version of it from the Game of Thrones?
Got more than 300 streams, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Right. We did better than this guy did.
Than the Ronson guy?
Yeah.
Maybe I thought of that before I ever heard of that Shallow song, now that I think about
Sue.
Season two, Game of Thrones.
Gaga has hired New York City power attorney Orrin Snyder. Oh, she got Snyder.
Wow. Snyder's on that case?
Mm-hmm. Who says the superstar will not back down.
I feel like...
Bubby, darling, sweetheart, listen, we are not backing down. We are taking this all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary.
Jeez.
Including the guy who likes beer.
Oh, boy.
I feel like Orrin Snyder doesn't take a call for less than like $1,000, right?
He'll keep going for sure until...
Ronson and his attorney, this Steve Ronson... It's too bad this guy has his name. It's confusing.
Ronson versus Ronson.
Yeah. And his attorney, Mark Sherian, are asking for millions and millions of dollars in a settlement. They are threatening to go public with their claims.
Well, okay. I think they are.
Which my client, Ms. Gaga. Ms. Gaga. is saying is a brazen shakedown.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Maybe a nice Blu-ray signed by Bradley and Lady Gaga. They might get that in a settlement. Can we get me a T-shirt? Tickets to see her in Vegas? Standing room only, says Orrin.
Ms. Gaga will not stand down here.
It's not
all right.
I don't think there's just enough similar there.
Something I think is kind of similar.
Tell me something, Strombone. Are you happy with one dragon gone?
I like how you stuck with Strombone.
What do you need more? Are the kingdoms you're still searching for?
Our musical director, Lauren Lapka, unhappy with this whole thing.
Nothing.
Oh, no, I thought it was great.
That's what I've been told about myself, and I know nothing.
It was so good.
I like that one the best.
I've been stabbed a few times myself.
Breaking muscles there.
Actually, the part that's good, though, is when Lauren starts
exactly.
saying
that.
That's
yeah.
what I think.
The wrong part.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Here's the good part. Here it is.
Yeah, here it is. Here we go.
Tell me something, Snow. Aren't you tired of hearing told you so? Or do you need whores?
What?
Ain't it hard for a dead man to score? I'm burning.
This makes me cry too.
All the macho jerks in my
She seems
path,
like an angel.
I'm
she does.
Burning them.
I don't know why I'm crying.
By the way,
Lauren, you have a great voice. How much auto-tune was used on that, though?
And by the way, if you see the video and you see the discord between the two and you hear her talking about burning things, that was all done like three episodes before she did all that stuff. We saw it coming,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, it's true.
Very true.
That was a special day. It started snowing
it
as you guys
day.
Were recording the
we
music
were,
video.
We shot that in April. It was a snowstorm.
It's true.
It perfect
Lauren
scene.
And I walked down the street in full costume, and people didn't even turn their heads. Snowing,
that's
and there's
also true.
And there's a guy in a John Snow Moke Howard wig and a girl dressed as Daenerys. Nobody turned an eye.
That wig was amazing. I don't even know how to describe what it looked like on your head.
That video is up at WGNRadio.com somewhere. You can just look for the...
Still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Game of Thrones video. What did we call that? What is that called?
What did we call
Shallows.
That?
The Gallows?
The Gallows. 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 Yeah, Gallows, right.
Then we got it Stormborn right in the final production, as I recall. So.
Okay.
Still bothering Lauren on
sorry.
The lyrics.
I'm sorry that we got to... Now I'm saying we got to have a fight about this. we got to stop fighting on this
I'm
show.
Suing us.
I'm not fighting. I think it's hilarious.
All right. Let's get now to the news at the bottom of the hour. Kim Gordon standing by in 2 minutes. There goes Kim. Right out the door.
Well, you're talking bears. I gotta go.
The Bears are going to be taking the field for the first time in the 2019-20 campaign. And let's hope it's a 2020 campaign all the way through. Is it Atlanta this year? Where is the Super Bowl?
Miami.
Miami. That's right, Adam Hogue.
That's
Miami.
Where we're going.
Yes. So this is that will be in Miami. That's right. That's where they were. They've been in Miami
they
before.
Have.
It didn't go well.
No.
I don't want to talk about that. But
redo.
But this is a moment, and you can hear all the excitement in Soldier Field. For only three players are going to be on the field for the Bears at any given moment.
That'll be interesting.
How does that work?
It all starts tonight. This year, bro, it's going to be sunny in Miami instead of pouring rain the whole game, and the Bears are going to win. They're not going to lose. And it all starts tonight against the Panthers. And the biggest news so far tonight is that it actually sounds like Mitch Trubisky is going to play a little bit.
There's video of him in full pads walking out of the tunnel.
Yeah. So I checked this from last year, and in the second preseason game, which was really their first preseason game because they played the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Okay. The game that was the equivalent of tonight, right? Trubisky and the starting offensive line played 10 snaps. So Nagy did play these guys in this game last year. That's about 14% of the game. Then Chase Daniel came out, played about 30% of the game, and then the third strings played the rest of the way. So that's probably the blueprint for what we'll see tonight.
And just about all the starters are ruled out, though, right? Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, those guys?
Basically, if you went to the Pro Bowl last year or you went All-Pro, you're definitely not playing tonight. And that's probably how it should be. So, guys, especially on the defensive side of football, Kyle Fuller's not playing. Eddie Jackson's not playing. Khalil Mack's not playing. Danny Trevathan's not playing.
Danny Trejo is.
Yeah. Roquan Smith is playing, though, tonight. So the young second-year linebacker will get some playing time. I can't imagine he plays a lot, though. Allen Robinson's not playing and shouldn't. And then there's guys like Adam Shaheen and Trey Burton, the tight ends right now, that are nursing some injuries that you're not going to see. But I'm still intrigued to see some guys like David Montgomery, the third-round draft pick this year, who Matt Nagy said is going to play in the preseason. And I think he's somebody who's going to play a decent amount tonight. And it'll be interesting to see how he fares against a live defense. Although I should say, for the Panthers are also holding out a lot of key players tonight too, like Luke Kuechly.
And the kicking situation obviously is what everybody's talking about today. Elliot Fry, Eddie Pinheiro. How do you see that kind of being sorted out tonight in terms of playing time, kickoffs, PATs, field goals? How do you think Nagy handles that?
Yeah, that'll be the one thing that all the way through the fourth quarter will be actually interesting to watch, because that's a starting job that is up for grabs. I'm actually surprised. I thought that they would do split the games up the way that they split up practices. Say, Elliot Fry, this is your game. Eddie Pinheiro, you get next week in New York. Or at least have it like a competition during the week to earn the right to play in the game and have it be your game. That's not how they're handling it. Matt Nagy has said that both kickers are going to play tonight. And so that limits the chances even more. I mean, that's the one thing about the preseason when it comes to kicking. You can't always control when you're going to get field goal opportunities. If you don't move the football past the 50-yard line the whole game with your backups, you're not going to have a field goal opportunity. And that would obviously be a pretty bad situation for the Bears to be in tonight if that were to unfold. So we probably will only see two, three, maybe four opportunities anyway to kick. And so there's not many to pick from, and it sounds like they're both going to at least get one shot tonight, hopefully, but you can't really control it.
Yeah, obviously, outside the kicking situation, there's really not a whole lot of position battles. Really none, to be honest. But is there any guys that we should be keeping an eye on, Adam, that maybe are just fighting for a roster spot?
This one guy's played so well, I'm not even sure he's fighting for a roster spot anymore. But Javon Wims, who last year was with the team throughout the year but didn't play a whole lot, wide receiver out of Georgia, seventh-round pick. He's had such a good training camp that I'm really curious to see if it translates to the games. He had a good preseason last year, and actually, if you remember, he played in Week 17 in that game in Minnesota that the Bears weren't really, playing their starters the whole game. And he made some big third down catches in that game. So yeah. That's one guy I'm looking forward to seeing. And also this whole Bradley Sowell experiment with him moving from the offensive line to tight end. How does he fare in a game now that he's lost 40 pounds and is trying to play a new position at the age of 30?
It's just like me. I want to say that I think it is a really awful idea to start Trubisky. I'm sorry. I got a bad feeling about that. I do. They put him in, you know, that what is that, that like yellow vest so that they can't touch him.
The red jersey.
I mean, I right now would like to just say to the commissioner of the NFL, Roger, stop booing me, Goodell. You have got to get rid of the preseason. The preseason is at least go down to two games.
Maybe just two.
Two games, and you do just basically glorified practices because you don't have a preseason in college football, right? You don't have a, you know, they have to hit the ground running. The chances that guys get hurt, and you know, every team has an injury in the preseason that is goofy. Mostly, it's not big stars, but it's, you know, this is the, and I will never forget. I don't even want to bring it up.
You just did.
I all right. Well, then I will bring it up. Rex Grossman, right in St. Louis, ankle goes the exact wrong way.
Oh, ouch!
Right, out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no good reason to do that. And he was never quite the same. Rex Grossman had a cannon of an arm, but the one of the things they liked about him was his mobility, which is exactly what Mitchell Trubisky has. So I am just, I don't want to talk about this.
I love this rant about injuries.
I don't want it.
Well, so he played 10 snaps in this game last year. He dropped back to throw 5 times. So not only did he play, it's not like he was handing the ball up the whole time.
Well, that's 60%
fine. Of the time he's actually out there throwing. So
I still want him in bubble wrap, and I want his ankles triple wrapped.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, the problem though with getting rid of these preseason games, and look, I agree with you. They're not completely necessary, but the stadium I'm looking at right now is still going to be full tonight, and. So you're talking about league revenue, and they're not going to
add 2 regular season games then.
Yeah, I know, but
then there's player safety talk.
I just cannot see the NFL Players Association going for that. Now, my solution to make up the money that I've proposed, and I really think they should consider it, mm-hmm. is to add an extra bye week during the season. Because what that does is it doesn't add any more games to the table, but it extends the season by an extra week where you get one more week of Monday Night Football revenue, one more week of Sunday Night Football revenue, and one more week of Thursday Night Football revenue. And that's what's driving this league right now anyway, is television and these television contracts. So by extending the season by one extra week, by just adding a bye week, you're actually accomplishing both player safety and adding money to the books. That's something where I really don't understand why it's not talked about more, because to me that's the easy solution.
Well, hang on a second. Isn't the preseason truly good for coaches to try out certain players? I mean, isn't there a really, like, first of all, a kicker situation? Doesn't this sort of help?
Well, that's the thing.
Two games is fine.
The coaches love it, and the scouts love it. I mean, right. the general managers, the fourth preseason game is the one that's a complete joke because nobody plays at all. But if you talk to the general managers, they love that game because that's where they get to scout all the players that are going to end up on the practice squad. And to come down the final cuts, they still have that to decide. So it's definitely at the expense of player safety. But for the coaches and the general managers and scouts, they love the preseason.
When I was a kid, weren't there 6 preseason games? I seem to remember there was a 14-game season. Then they went to the 16-game season. Right? I mean, this is like in the 1970s when this happened. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I may be wrong about the 6 preseason games because that seems like a really stupid thing to do. But then again, it was a different time back then.
I kind of vaguely remember that. You might be right.
I think you are right.
They used to give guys cocaine on the sidelines. And it didn't seem to be like the Dallas Cowboys were good at that. Heroin, anybody? Heroin? So it was
As we talk about preseason injuries, Lions receiver Jermaine Kearse currently being carted off the field with an injury.
Oh, dear.
So there you go.
Don't
Trainer immediately
that.
Covered his lower leg with a towel, air cast coming out now. That's a Lions receiver, a significant piece to that Lions offense. So as we're talking about it, a receiver for the Lions being carted off the field.
All right.
Not good.
I'm with you. Take everybody out.
Take everybody out. All right, I gotta go. All right, go. Go away. Go away. Oh, you scare me. Adam Hoag.
Bye,
Adam.
Until 1977, there were 6 preseason games.
Oh, wow.
Think about
good
that.
Good recall.
Think about how
6.
Stupid that was.
Yeah. That's...
They probably played starters back then, too.
Yeah.
Probably the whole game.
Right?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
That's why OB is so angry.
Right.
All right, let's find out from David Jennings what's going on in the news at the top of the hour in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
The FAA investigating Roe, Chicago's fire department, and Department of Aviation. Did unqualified firefighters wind up working on specialized firefighting equipment at the airports?
Hold on, David Jennings just told me something in my ear, Justin Coffin, that Trump tweeted about Blago just now.
Yes, he did.
And what did he say?
Sentenced to 14 years in prison. He has served 7 years. Many people have asked that I study the possibility of commuting his sentence in that it was a very severe one.
Mm-hmm.
White House staff is continuing the review of this matter.
Okay. Thank you. I think
we've asked you, President Trump, to study this.
Can we have a show of hands of who asked?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, there's a lot of there. I mean, Patty.
Yeah, Patty, yeah, for
been
sure.
All over it. But just that concept of I'm going to study it. I'm going to take it home. I got a big book.
Well, that's interesting because that pushes him off. I expected the next thing from him to be just commute.
Did you think he'd just do it by Twitter? Like he would
sure.
just, yeah, that's how he's going to do it?
Yeah.
Like maybe tag him in it?
Yeah.
Well,
tweet Apple Goyevich, say, hey. Your papers are already up front.
Hey, check your DM.
Well, he heard from Republican lawmakers again today saying, hey, we will take a look at this, and we've already have, and it's not a good idea.
Does he break rank with the party on this?
He breaks rank with the party.
Yeah.
Listen,
every day.
They don't like this idea of commuting any sentence from Rod Blagojevich, other Republican leaders.
I don't know what, I mean, who knows what they know? I mean, they just go along. I mean,
it's not so much breaking rank as it is breaking protocol.
Because
there is a whole procedure that you're supposed to go through in deciding if you're going to commute a sentence, if you're going to pardon somebody.
Right.
There's an office in the Justice Department that does just
commutations
that.
And the whole thing. Yeah, but Justice Department, please. Don't even get me.
Never mind. I shouldn't have said that.
There's a whole protocol.
We have an acting national security advisor now. I mean, it's like, forget about it.
There's a protocol. There's an official hashtag.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I think it's really weird that he brought it up and he wasn't ready to do it again. But that's him because now the Blagojevich family is without doubt thinking that this is going to happen. I think it's going to happen.
Right.
But he's going to have people coming up to him right now, going, no, you can't. You don't understand. You didn't pay attention to what happened here.
I think
he's blaming Comey. Comey had nothing to do with Blagojevich.
But again, this goes to what he likes to do is sort of reshift narratives. The same with yesterday, even what he said on Air Force One, there were mistakes all over about what he just did a couple phone calls. That's what politicians do. Not me, but other politicians. Not me.
Yeah.
Which I always like that about him. But I think it's worth a conversation. And, you know, we've had it on the radio station for over the last couple years about whether or not it was fair or unfair. But I don't know if it should be played out in this kind of
right. Well, that's the thing is if you're going to do it, I guess you should just go ahead and do it. But he brought it up today and then he tweets about it again tonight. And Mayor Lightfoot said this earlier. I don't think that's fair to the family to just toy around with those kinds of words.
Because he really cares about other people's feelings.
Well, he more is using it as a weapon against the same folks he doesn't like. And I think that's a big piece of this. That doesn't mean he won't do it.
How about the crowd size, though? Last time I was in El Paso, my God, what a huge crowd. I mean, come on. You're in a hospital with these people who are, you know, this has nothing to do with that. George W. Bush. I can't believe this. I would do anything to have George W. Bush as president again. I don't know what I could do. Who do I have to call about that?
Well, I thought that was interesting. The obviously everything that came out of the meeting, but the fact that he has yet to pay for that rally, the rally he keeps talking about,
El Paso,
the bill has not been paid yet. It's just an interesting way that to brag about how great your rally was, but at the end of the day, stiff everyone who was involved in it.
Right.
That's not very presidential, Roe. From a guy who was just presidential all the time. Right.
All right. You're under arrest.
Arrest him. And we're not going to commute your sentence, by the way.
Yeah. 14 years for looking at me funny. All right. Get out of here. What do you got to do?
Okay, so I got some good stuff tonight. I got Sister Donna's going to talk. She's with Precious Blood Ministries. I'm working on a show that's going to be coming up in September that is all about fighting violence in Chicago.
Okay.
And we've gone to different neighborhoods and we're kind of talking to people on the front lines. And I was down in back of the yards yesterday and or on Tuesday, and we talked with Sister Donna, who is at 51st and Troop in back of the yards, and she works with women. It's a great story about sort of a forgotten story of Chicago violence, but she was from Dayton, Ohio. And she weighs in on the differences between a mass shooting and what happens in Chicago every weekend. And so I'm fully a part of that to play tonight. And she's obviously going to be a big part of what we do coming up in the early
sounds
part
very
of
cool.
September.
It does sound cool.
Why don't we do things like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because we don't have the attention span.
You don't have the White Sox preempting you. When the White Sox preempt me, I get an opportunity to go out in the day and I don't have to worry about what's
don't
on
tell
the
me
front.
About White Sox
yeah.
preemptions.
Don't mention that.
Don't even get me started.
And then we also have the founder of Riot Fest, Mike Patrician, who Riot Fest is celebrating 15 years in Chicago, coming up in the beginning of September.
Where is it this year?
The Punk Rock Festival, which is in Douglas Park on the west side, kind of southwest side on mm-hmm. Ogden there.
Yeah.
But great acts this year, Blink 182, The Descendants. I know you're a big fan of Jawbreaker, so there's going to
sure,
be a lot of those kind of bands.
Yeah.
But
Blink 182 is going to be there?
Exactly. One of the last remaining independent music festivals in America.
Okay. They're
do they bury alcohol there and jump the fence as well? Or
they probably
that doesn't
do.
Happen?
Yeah, okay. There's no fence.
No. That's, just
they
go.
Don't, they don't care. Like, hey, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah.
Very welcoming
yeah.
at Riot
Fest. Douglas Park. A little different. a little different vibe yeah. there in Douglas Park.
There's no two fences. There's not a safety
yeah.
fence.
Yes.
There's just one fence.
All right. It's up to you now.
Have a great night, guys. It's up to you. Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's time for the news right now. Here is David Jennings. David?